enemy, that we're not glorifying him. We're learning how he tries to come at us so that we can defeat his works. And so it's important for us to understand the spiritual forces at our play and so that we can win. So if you're a guest, been here forever, thanks for being here. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. God, I think this is an amazing moment for us today. I feel like you're going to use today's message in a way that's really going to help people. And so, Father, I pray that you would use my voice to be your voice. And Lord, I pray that those that are listening would open their hearts to hear you today. And so, Lord, I thank you for our guests. I thank you for those that are part of our church for a long period of time. For those that couldn't be here, God, bless them today. Father, use this message for your glory. And enemy, we say that you have no right authority here. And we say, not today, devil. In Jesus' name, amen, church. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, I have my paper back. We're bringing paper back, remember, church? So good. So I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 10, verse 10, and then I'm going to jump to 1 Peter 2, 5. And so if you don't have your Bibles, it's all right. We're going to put it on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, the thief, and it's referring to the devil, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen, church? The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the attack that he brings on you, to steal, kill, and destroy. And what is he trying to steal? I think he's trying to rob you of your joy, of your peace. He wants to hurt your soul. He wants to mess up your business, your marriage, your family, your kids. He's coming against you and your friends and anything he can to hurt you. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill your relationship with God. He wants to cause you to feel disconnected from God. He wants you to be out of church. He doesn't want you here today. How many of you experienced, you realize the devil didn't want you here today on the way to church? Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. You hit every red light. How many hit every red light on the way to church? Made you late. It wasn't your fault, was it? It was the red light's fault. And so, but you know, the enemy, I'm not pointing at anybody over here. I'm just saying, especially friends that live one block away, I'm not even talking to them. So, I'm just kidding, friends. He wants to kill your relationship with God, get you out of church. He wants you not reading your Bible. He wants you doubting and feeling distant. I mean, he wants to kill that relationship. He wants to destroy. So steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to take your influence away. He doesn't want the message of Christ going through you to the city. So let me summarize what the devil does. The enemy attacks you, your relationship with God, and your testimony for God. But Jesus, he's the ultimate counterpunch. Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. When you know Christ, then he gives you the power to overcome, be victorious, and live a blessed, full, peace-filled, joyful life, right? We get to live close to God in his presence, and we get to make a difference in the world. Jesus came to reverse the curse, right? Come on, you can clap for that. Help me out. You know, sometimes in my mind, I say things, and I'm like, they're going to go crazy right here. Like, that rhymed and everything. I was like, man, they're going to go for that, but it's all right. The enemy, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? First, he wants to gain access into your life. He wants to gain access into your heart, into your mind. But he needs your permission to oppress you. Now, you're thinking, permission? I would never give him permission. Well, let's talk about how sometimes we do. In 1 Peter, back to the word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Say spiritual house. You're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So you need to understand that you are both a natural person, like skin, and you can jump, you can you can do things. Like there's a natural part to you. And we should take care of our natural bodies. We should exercise. We should be healthy. We should do what we can. We should protect this physical body. I mean, I do the best I can. Like, I work out sometimes, most of the time. Like, if I had to, I could do 50 push-ups if I had to. I'm not going to. You do it. We're not doing 50 push-ups. That's crazy. You have to trust your pastor. But I take care, like, listen, I've been letting my hair grow out lately. I want to see what it looks like when it's blowing in the wind, you know? I actually missed my appointment, and it's growing out. I ate a salad last night so I could fit in my slim fit shirt today. See, you want to take care. We got to take care of our bodies, right? Everybody amen to that? But the Bible said you are a spiritual house. In other words, you're not just physical. There's a spiritual house that you have to take care of. And I'm concerned that we spend more time on taking care of our physical house and not enough time protecting and taking care of our spiritual house. You are a spiritual house, and it says to be holy. In other words, we should not defile. We should not let things in that will cause the enemy to have access and defile our spiritual house. We should protect our spiritual house. Not in my house, right? Not in my house. The Apostle Paul, he begins to teach us about spiritual warfare and how to protect our spiritual house. In Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," so it's not people, "but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we have a natural life, but there's this spirit life that's at work. And so there's a forces of evil, the enemy, the devil, he's at work in the heavenly realms, it says. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God." Paul's teaching the church here in Ephesus and for us that we have to protect ourselves, that we have to be prepared for battle. And so we have to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, when the day of evil comes, when the enemy attacks, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything else, stand. Verse 14, "Stand firm then," and it lists six ways for us to defend the devil. It says, "With the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." In verse 17, "Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Apostle Paul uses the illustration of a Roman or an Israelite soldier to be able to describe the armament, the armor that we wear, the weapons that we have. And each of these represent a way that we can defend and defeat the enemy that attacks our life. Let me just go through these briefly. It says the belt of truth, which is the word of God. When Satan attacked Jesus right after his baptism, Jesus was led into the wilderness, and Satan began to attack him and tempt him. And the Bible says that each time the enemy attacked Jesus, Jesus responded with, "It is written." It is written. And so it's the belt of truth that is the written word of God. It's the Bible that we find the truth and the source for all of our life. We have to get this into our spirit so that when the enemy comes at us, we can say, "This is what God says. It is written." The Bible is the only source for truth. Culture wants to give you its own truth. It wants to twist things and say, "Well, because I feel this way, this ought to be truth." Listen, it's not how you feel, it's what the Bible says. And so the Bible is the source for all truth. It talks about every topic that culture is dealing with today, and we need this truth in our hearts. Because it deals with things like racism. It talks about same-sex marriages and whether that's godly or not. It talks about sex outside of marriage and whether that's God's best. It talks about drunkenness and debt and health and love and power. It talks about being a servant leader and grace and love and compassion. The Bible is the truth, and it defends us from the lies. It defends us from being confused when the world says that, and we have to be able to go, whoa, it is written. That becomes our defense. It is written. And it may not even square good with your you know, culture and your friends, but we have to have a defense mechanism that says, I don't understand all that, but I know what's written. And so it's the Word of God. And so we have to have that Word inside of us. So the belt of truth is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness. I like to think of the breastplate of righteousness as this you know, the breastplate that's on us with the name of Jesus stamped or engraved on the front of the breastplate. Like, His name is there. I've been watching some of the NFL draft this week, and I watched the Cowboys were drafting, and so all four of us Cowboy fans, we were watching it. Awesome. A couple of you. I changed the channel when it was the Giants pick. I'm like, who cares who they get? Patriots. Eagles. I mean, of no use to me. I would give the Cowboys draft pick so far like a B overall. Like, we're doing okay. So, but we've lost a couple players recently. Well, doesn't matter. Listen, you know what happens? You know what happens, though, when they draft someone? The player will walk up on the stage, and they give him a jersey with the name of the team that's on the front, because now that's who he represents. So he's a Cowboys. He's a Eagles. Bless his heart. He's a whatever he may be, and he wears his jersey. For us, I like to think about that breastplate with the name of Jesus stamped on it, because I am not going into battle in my own strength. I don't represent me. I represent and have the power of Jesus, and I can go forward. The breastplate protects our heart. Satan will attack your heart with accusations and guilt and shame and unworthiness. He wants to tell you that everything you did wrong, and he wants to multiply it in your life and remind you all the time. And that's one of his attacks. He just reminds you of how bad you are and brings guilt. What I like about the breastplate of righteousness is I am reminded that my righteousness isn't in what I did. It's in what Christ did for me. Listen, I deserve to be full of shame. I should be condemned. I should be walking around with heaviness on my life because of all that I've done wrong. But I don't. Why? Because I have the breastplate of righteousness that says I have been saved, I have been forgiven, and I have been made whole because of Jesus. So when the enemy comes and says, Tim, you should be guilty, you know, I go, read the label. This isn't what I did. Because if it were up to me, then you'd be right. I should be guilty. It's not up to me. I carry the breastplate of righteousness. He says, feet fitted is the next place. Our feet are fitted is the protection of your peace. The enemy will attack your peace. He will rob your peace. He will bring stress and difficulties and problems, and he'll pile them on you. How many have been there and felt that kind of stress in your life? What he says is we are going to fit our feet with peace. Who do you run to when trouble comes? Listen, God is your solid rock on who you stand. The Roman soldiers, I read, they actually put nails in the bottom of their shoes so that when they went into battle, they could plant their feet and nothing could move them. As strong as the enemy came, they were locked in. I want you to know, when the enemy comes, your feet are planted on the foundations of Christ and Jesus and the Word of God. And when he comes, you stand there and you go, peace. I have peace in the middle of it. Do you know what drives the enemy crazy? It's when he brings troubles in your life and you go, I'm still peaceful. I'm good. Shield of faith protects us from the fiery darts of the enemy. Shield of faith. The enemy wants to impart doubt, and uncertainty, and fears, and discouragements, and delays. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen, and you're in the middle of this delay, and you're like, where's God? It's not going to work out. And the enemy jumps in the middle of that delay and says, it's never going to work out. Delays. Shield of faith means this. That means that I trust God no matter what I see, what I feel, or what I hear about the world and the circumstances around me. The shield of faith says this: God said it, that settles it. The helmet of salvation is your testimony. When you choose to believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. The Bible says that he's our seal of our salvation. You know you're saved because he's living inside of you. He becomes the one that speaks of your testimony. He reminds you of your testimony. The fact that you've been saved and you've been an overcomer and you've been set free, he reminds you of your testimony. When the devil attacks you and he says, you're going to fail, and he comes against you with doubts and discouragements and negativity, then what you do is you go, hang on. I am a child of the living God, and I am secure in him. And so whatever you bring will not separate me from my God. I love God. He loves me. Nothing can separate me from his love. And so it becomes your power, your testimony. And then it says the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the revealed word of God. Revealed means this illumination of either the word of God or some way God speaks to you. The Bible talks about that word being a rhema word. This is when the Holy Spirit illuminates. He speaks to us through his Bible. Sometimes I read my word and God will just highlight something. It sparks and I'm like, oh, that's for me. Like, oh, that's what I needed today. And he speaks. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, he speaks to me through prophetic words. And sometimes he speaks through promptings in my heart. As an example, when the mall called me and said that we have to be out in October, honestly, my mind went to negativity. And I started thinking, oh, this is not good. Like, we're not going to have a home. A church needs a home. And I'm like, people are going to, like, bail out when they find out we have to set up and break down church every Sunday. We're meeting in some auditorium, and it's not going to have the same feel, and you know, we may not have the exact same quality of sound, and you know, all these things. And I began to think about all that, and I was running with that, and I thought, oh, this is bad. And then God prompted something in my heart. And I felt like God said right in the middle of that, Tim, this is for our good. And it became that rhema word. It became that place I thought, oh, okay, great. Then God's in charge. He knows it's happening. And so every time the enemy began to say bad, I said, God said good. And I began to remind myself of the good. And so I'm so excited that all of you are going with me to the temporary location. And I'm so excited that all of you are going to help me set up and break down every week. I'm so excited. Some of you are going to have to bring an extra shirt to church because you're going to sweat through the first one setting up. Nobody clapped right there. Like. Listen, some of you that are you dudes that are like, you know, I'm going to be looking for you. You're setting up. You're on the setup team. Hey, but we have to get that word of God, that rhema word, where God speaks to you, and you can hang on to that, and that becomes your weapon against the enemy. You see, Paul is teaching us in Ephesians here that we have to protect our spiritual house because we're not physical only. There's a spiritual side. And he said there are six ways that you can defeat the enemy and protect your spiritual house, because the devil, he's not going to come at you really in easy ways. He's not going to make this, like, really obvious what he's doing. He's not going to, like, you know, walk up and go, hey, listen, I'm here to make you sick. And so this afternoon, you're going to start feeling a sore throat. And so when it happens, I want you to go, oh, I'm sick. And he doesn't say it that way. He doesn't say, hey, this afternoon, your friend is going to forget to invite you to the party, and you're going to get really offended. So when that happens, just get so mad and write about him on Facebook. So he doesn't give it obvious like that. He's sneaky. And so he wants to find ways to get in. He wants to find an opportunity to get access into your life. Now, you would never willingly say, devil, you can, you know, come in. I mean, we would never do that. But he's an opportunist. He looks for a way to get in. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 4:13. It says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him. Look what he did. He left him until the next opportunity. You know what that says to me? That he is watching your life, and he's waiting for you to give him an opportunity to come in and access and oppress and torment and disrupt, steal, kill, destroy. He wants to mess up your marriage, your business, your family, your friends. And he's looking for an opportunity. A few years ago, I was watching a sci-fi TV show. I don't even like sci-fi. But you've ever been on Netflix and you've just run out of, like, what am I going to watch? And I'd spent probably 30 minutes looking for a show to watch. And I was worn out, so I landed on this show. And I'm like, oh, I've heard other people say it's a pretty good show, so I'm going to watch this show. And so I watched, like, two or three episodes. And somewhere along the way, this show scared the you-know-what out of me. Like, I was like, ah, you know, and it scared me. Now, I need to clarify something. I never watch scary movies. In my entire life, I can tell you I've never watched a horror movie. But that stuff just creeps me out, all right? Like, I have a sensitivity to the occult and the demonic things, and so I never watch that stuff. But I was watching this TV show, and I thought it was going to be innocent because my friends had said, oh, it's a good show. And it really wasn't that bad. Let me tell you what it was. Y'all want to, because some of you watched it. One of you probably recommended it. I watched this show a long time. Lost. You ever watched Lost? Don't tell me if you watched it. Just leave it there. I watched that. Well, listen, I was watching it. And you know what? Lost on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like 2 on the scary factor. I mean, like, it's, but I was watching it. And what happened was, though, is it began to stir fear inside of me. I just began to feel fear stirring. I was like, I'm uncomfortable. And I felt that happening. And so I ended up turning it off. That night, I woke up from a terrible demonic nightmare. And so I went into the living room, and I began to kind of pray and, you know, like, Lord, you know, clean me up, fill me full, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I felt like the Lord said, well, the enemy was looking for an opportunity to attack with fear. And you opened a door to your spiritual house, and you let that fear in. That's why I want to tell you my sermon title. My sermon title is this: When the Devil Knocks. He's looking for an opportunity. The devil's knocking on your spiritual house. And that's why we have to put on the full armor of God. You see, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid too many of us are headed into our day without our shields up, and we're giving the devil easy access into our life. But when we're protected, when we have our shields up, then we can say to the enemy, not today, devil. Come on, not today, devil. In Ephesians chapter 4:26, let me teach you about how he tries to gain access. Ephesians 4:26 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. It says, for anger gives a foothold. I could throw so many words to help describe that. Like, anger gives opportunity. Anger gives a crack in the door. Anger gives a way. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. The enemy is using, at this point, an uncontrolled emotion of anger to access your life. Let me show you in the Greek what the word foothold means. Foothold in the Greek translation is topos. And topos means a spot, a place, or room. So it says anger gives a place or room to the devil. Let me put it in. This is Tim Blevins' version. So you won't find any version in the bookstore of this, but this is Tim Blevins' version. Let me read this to you. Do not give the devil an opportunity to occupy a place in your spiritual house. And that's what he wants to do. foothold. What's a foothold? Let me give you another explanation. How many of you have older brothers or sisters? I have an older brother. He's my hero. But as a younger brother, still part of my role was to pester him from time to time. And so I can remember many times just wrestling around and, you know, and pestering my older brother. And one time he was all done. He pushed me out of the bedroom. He was like, I need my privacy. And just as he was shutting the door, I just stuck my foot in the door jamb between the door and the doorway and he couldn't shut the door. And he was pushing and pushing. And when there's a foothold, it leaves opportunity. So what I did is I slid my hand in the wall and I flipped the light on and off. Because I had a foothold. I had access. So then he pulled the door open and he threw me on the bed and beat me up with pillows, and it was great. And that's what the foothold. The enemy is looking for that way, that access into your heart, into your mind. Doors are access points to a natural house. So a door is used to allow those with legal authority to access their house. Legal authority. So if you have the key and you know the security code, then you get to go in the house. But if the door is not protected, then it can allow those without legal authority to access your house. And so the devil is knocking to find permission to come in. Let me give you four ways the enemy knocks. The devil knocks in four ways. One, the door of entertainment. He knocks on the door of entertainment. So things like television. For me, that show was something that triggered, that I watched when I shouldn't have, and it triggered fear. So television shows, some shows are laced with things that shouldn't be being imparted into our mind. Movies. If you haven't walked out of a movie or two, you're probably not sensitive enough in this area. Because you don't always know. The pre-thing, you know, you look it up and watch it a commercial, like, oh, it's going to be awesome. You go in and it's like filth. You know, you're like, ah. So we walk out of some. Movies are another way, though, that the enemy tries to impart his ideas and his values and his spirit to you. Music is another one. Books and entertainment and games and horoscopes and Ouija boards and palm readers and all of these things are like based in entertainment. And if we don't understand that they carry with them an opportunity for the enemy to impart his evil there, then we may not have that door closed and he has opportunity, just like I did with the really vicious, wicked show of Lost. Check this verse out. 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." Everybody say, test the spirits. We have to test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. So there's the spirit of God, but there's also the enemy's spirit. And so you have to go, is this God or not? It says, test the spirit to see whether they are from God. You have to test it. We have to remember that we are in a natural world and a spiritual world. And we have to test the spirits. We must protect both realms, both the natural and the spirit. Let me put it this way. Let me frame it another way. Why do you go to church? Why do we sing worship songs? And why do we read our Bibles and pray? Because we know these things build our spirit life up to be more like Christ. And so we open our hearts. You come in and we say, you know, open your hearts to the Lord. And he wants to do something. You come in and you lift your hands to the Lord and you surrender in worship because you're saying, I'm open for the Spirit of God to move in my life and to build my life and make me stronger. We all understand that. That's why you're here. You're like, I want to get stronger. I want to be more like Christ. And so the spirit life for Christ is good. But in the same way, we can open up doors to demonic spirits that want to come in and hurt us. It's the same principle, that you can open yourself up. Now, I want to say that not every song and every movie is evil. There are some really amazing 80s tunes that they're not evil. So there's a lot of neutral, but that's why it says that we have to test the spirit. Test what's behind it. So like movies, test the spirit behind it. Is it fear-based? Is it occult-based? Is it demonic-based? Music, test the spirit behind it. Is it demonic? What are the lyrics? What are they saying? What are you running through your mind? You know, music's one of those things, too, that you don't even have to be listening, but you'll memorize the lyrics. They just get in there. When I grew up, I was a big AC/DC fan. Man, I thought it was amazing. And then one day, I was like sitting there, and I'm like, Highway to Hell came on. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. I want to get off that highway. What activities are you participating on that maybe the enemy is using to bring in your life? And so, listen, this isn't the fall, but I'm going to pick on my favorite pick-on topic. Don't dress your kids up like little witches on Halloween and not expect them to be drawn into the cult later. Man, thank you, honey. Appreciate that. Amen. Let me put it another way. Don't put tombstones and cobwebs on your house at Halloween and not expect your kids to be not fearful and drawn into things of the darkness. If you want to know something about me, this is just a little hint about me. I hate Halloween. And the reason I hate it is because parents are tricked into playing fun and games, and they're opening their kids up to the occult. That's why I hate it. Listen, let me move on, because I know that's a little personal. But if you don't test the spirits will test you. They want to come. They're like, I want to knock on your door. And so if you're not aware, all right, I'm going to move on. Y'all good with that? You ready to move on? Y'all feel that? I love it when I get to throw like heavy on you every now and then. Let me help you. Let's move on. Point two, another door. The door of offense. Offense finds its way in when we don't forgive. You're going to be offended. All right, so you are going to be offended. Either today or tomorrow or next week, you're going to get offended. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings, and you have the choice of what to do with it. And if you forgive, then you've closed the door. If you leave that open, you're giving the enemy access to bring your offense into bitterness, and it wounds your heart. Bible teaches us how many times we should forgive. It says 70 times 7. In other words, quit counting. Just forgive people when you're offended. Number three, the door of confessions. The Bible says that our words carry the power of life and death in them. Every word you speak is a seed that's planted that will bear good or bad fruit in your life. Guard your words. Like when you say something like, oh, I'm never going to graduate. Well, the enemy hears that and goes, well, you're exactly right. I can amen that with you, and he'll ride that with you. You say, well, I'm always sick. How many times have you said this like I've said this? Hey, how you doing? So tired. You know what you're doing? You're like, I'm just going to get more tired now. Well, our words have power in them. And the enemy is listening to your confessions. And when you say things that are not what God says, then he jumps on those and he drives that into your life. Because your words have power. And if you're a parent, because you have authority in your children's life, don't tell them that they won't amount to much. Don't say things like that. And listen, and don't even jokingly say, oh, they're my little devils or my little minions. And listen, don't play with it, because your words have life or death. Amen? Hey, number four, the door of ongoing sin. Ongoing and deliberate sin is an obvious way the enemy breaks into your life. If you're sinning, you won't be winning. It's pretty simple. Like, this is not like rocket science stuff. You're like, oh, well, I could have come up with that for sure. But we don't think, listen, men, I'm looking up here. I'm not looking at anybody. But men, if you're online looking at porn, don't expect your marriage to be awesome. See, like, you can't open this door up and expect, you can't open sin up and expect righteousness. And so, you can't, I mean, like the Bible talks about drunkenness. You get slammed on Friday night, well, don't expect the blessings of God on Saturday morning. I mean, you're going to have a headache at minimum, but you're opening your heart up. You're opening your life up to the door of ongoing sin. So let me kind of conclude this, because I want to remind you that we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And so here are just some concluding thoughts. Hey, the devil is real, right? Spiritual warfare is real, right? We cannot live unaware of the devil's plan to invade your life. Don't live unaware of this anymore. Like, unfortunately, you came to church, now you know. You're like, oh, why did we go today? Because if you don't know, he's still attacking. So you might as well be aware so you can beat him off, right? So, but don't live unaware that there's a spiritual world. You are both physical and spiritual, and we have to protect our spiritual house. Next thought. The devil baits us to open the door to our life with things that appear harmless. He doesn't come with the obvious. It's like, oh, it's just fun and games. One time when I was probably like 8 or 9 years old, I was at a fair in our hometown in Waynesville, North Carolina, and like, there's no crime there, so our parents just dumped us out at the fair and said, have fun. And so we're running all over. I got 4 or 5 of my buddies, and there's this palm readers booth at the fair, and so we're kind of standing outside, and we're thinking, hey, let's mess with her. And so we stood outside, and we started trying to talk like, hey, this is what I'm saying. And so, you know, the people inside were like, what? You know, and so we thought it was so funny. And so then we thought, hey, let's go in and let's try to read her palm. You know, so we were just playing around, and we thought it was all fun and games. We got in there, and before I know it, she had grabbed my hand and laid it on that table, and she started telling me things. And I remember as she talked, I was like, really? Really? And what happened was is I was fun and gaming it, and I dabbled. I was just playing around with the occult, and then before I knew it, I'm in the midst of it. And see, the enemy wants to trick you. I remember when I told my mom, she drove that demon out of me. There's more than one way to drive out a demon. Too many Christians live with too many problems in their life because they don't use the armor of God to protect themselves. And last, the devil is a villain, but you don't have to be the victim, because you are equipped with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet that's on solid ground, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. You're fully equipped. At my house, at where we live, every night I lock my doors and I check them, because now we live in a great neighborhood, safe. I mean, you think it's safe, but I still lock my doors. Do you lock your doors at night? I have an alarm system at our house. I set the alarm every night. Boop, boop, boop. And it tells me, your house is alarmed. Only it's a little female voice. I can't do it, but your house is alarmed. And I feel secure with that because, listen, I'm serious about protecting my home and my family. I want them protected. I'm also serious about protecting my spiritual house. And that's where we all need to be. Amen. When the devil knocks, not today, devil. Not today, devil. Tomorrow, not looking so good either. Let me pray for you. How many of you here today, you're followers of Christ, but you realize today that you want to engage better in warfare? You want to do a better job of protecting your spiritual house? If that's you, would you just lift a hand up to me? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you right now that you gave us weapons to protect us from the enemy. And God, I thank you that you've given us in our spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the ability to test the spirits. And so God, give us that awareness that when the enemy tries to gain access into our life, we shut the front door. And Father, I pray right now for those who are under attack. If you're one of those under attack, lift it up. God, I pray you give them strength today. Give them that spirit that overcomes the attacks. And God, I pray by your power that they carry on, that they don't quit and they stay above the circumstances. And God, I pray that you would remind us that all things are possible for those that believe, and greater is the spirit of God that's in us than the spirit that tries to attack us. And so I pray that over every person with their hand up in Jesus' name. And as I'm continuing to pray, there are those of you that are here that you may recognize, and maybe you're not even sure like where you stand with God today. So if I had a conversation with you and I asked you today, you know, what would happen after this life? Like, what would happen in your life after this life? Because this life doesn't last forever. And you might not know. So I want to help you. The Bible's very clear that we can't be good enough to earn our salvation and eternal life. We can't do anything to save ourselves. But Jesus was that perfect sacrifice for our sin. And so in this moment, if you're here, I want to encourage you to believe on Jesus today as your Savior, and you can be totally forgiven. If you're hearing this today, I don't mean with your ears, but I mean with your heart. You know who you are. God's speaking to you. And you recognize that you need Jesus. You need forgiveness. You need grace. You need salvation. Would you lift your hand up to me right now and say, that's me. I need this. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I see your hand. I see your hand. Lift your hand up real high so I can see. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Many hands. It's awesome. Anyone else? I see your hand in the back. God bless you. I see your hand. So good. Hey, we're all going to say a prayer together. And if this is for you, you raised your hand, this is your first time, this is your moment that you're surrendering your life to Christ and he's coming in to save you and forgive you of all your sins. The Bible says you're a new creation when you receive Jesus as your Savior. So we're going to say this prayer together. Everybody say it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died on the cross for my sin. I receive my forgiveness. Today I'm totally forgiven. I'm a new creation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, church.